grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Close enough for jazz cigarettes, really, isn't it? 420 something.
A bit of jazz cigarette, I like that.
Jazz. Spelled with S's.
Chris. G'day, Chris. From the Hemp Store on K Road. Hope all is well up on K Road and business is trucking along.
Yeah, K Road's awesome. We love it. The building, the construction stuff's coming to a close and plenty of people, you know, there's a bit of a buzz on the street, shall we say. It's not just the things people are on. But, yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of which, a poll came out, speaking of people on things, or certainly supporting
a change
in the law. So poll on Monday, this was the sort of what's kicked off actually quite a big week in cannabis news. It was actually commissioned by the Helen Clark Foundation, UMR Research, and what was interesting is they asked people, it was people, just people who voted, so you know, if you didn't vote, you weren't in the poll, and the proportion they got, you know, what would you vote for was pretty much the same as what the referendum found last year.
But also, if you didn't vote, shame on you.
Yeah, shame a lamer. And you know, a lot of people didn't vote, right? But anyway, so what it found is of the no voters, 40% of the no voters. So it was an additional 20% of the so they were half, right? Anyway, so 69% all in all would support law reform when you add up legalization and decriminalization. And you know, that's what I think was the gut feeling all along and what people were saying, and even leading campaigners of the No campaign were saying, you know, that they would have supported decrim.
So are you sort of suggesting that perhaps the government went too far trying to go for full legalisation and perhaps we should have waded into a middle ground and just decrimmed?
Yeah. I think that's the big take-home from it, is that it was the question that was wrong. You know, it was too far out there. Mm. And this shows, you know, that there is this really broad appetite. But it was interesting that it was still legalisation was more than decrim. So even when you put it to people, which would you go for, it wasn't like a whole bunch of legalisers when, oh, no, I'll just do the decrim, thanks, you know. It was actually a whole bunch of nopers who really, I mean, you've got to bring people over, right? We need a broadly supported policy. And there it is. So I thought that was really interesting. And it was a majority of people who would vote Labour, National, Green or ACT would support reform. So, you know, another really interesting thing.
Wait, what does that mean? If any of those parties support it, they would vote for them? Is that what you're saying?
A majority of their voters.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah.
So how far away are we from decriminalisation?
Cannabis doesn't discriminate.
Is it on the government's radar at all? I mean, obviously, if there's some appetite for
it. Not officially. And in fact, that was confirmed in one of the bits of coverage around this, so that they went and talked to Chris Farfoy, the Minister of Justice, and he said that it's not on their work program. You know, that was all very interesting poll, he called it, and he would welcome a private members bill, and if that was the case, you know, he reminded everyone, or thought said quite pointedly, you know, this is a conscience issue, and Labour MPs would be, you know, who hold a majority in Parliament, Labour MPs would be free to vote for a private members bill, and so, you know, the invitation is there, I guess, to put one there, and then they went and talked to Chloe and said, well, how about one from you, have you got one up your sleeve, sort of thing, and unfortunately, she hasn't, but she was pointing to the Māori Party and saying, "Well, really, in you know, with the referendum result and with the law that's remaining having such a discriminatory effect on Māori and being so unfairly you know, enforced and prosecuted, that it's really the ball's now in the Māori Party's court to push for some action here and, you know, put forward a private members' bill."
Do you often talk to the Māori Party?
Well, they haven't been in Parliament, right? So the last term. So I can't say that we have, but I do know that some in the law reform movement were invited to and spoke at Waitangi this year, and I think that's a big you know, move forward, a big shift forward. You know, that hasn't happened before. Yeah, but yes, yeah, so a whole lot of interesting things, I guess, that happened in the wake of that poll, and also some researchers at Massey University published a paper looking at why the referendum might not have worked. And and well, it was commentary, so it wasn't actually based on anything really there. And in fact, they did commentary on the expenses and what people might have spent, but they wrote it before people had put in their returns. And since they've put in their returns, it hasn't really been
speculative commentary then.
Yeah, kind of. So that's a bit unfortunate. But some of the things they're saying might be true, and one of them was that Jacinda Ardern's failure to make her position known, or the Labour Party, you know, in general remaining neutral on it, and not, you know, it was their referendum. They like to say it was the Greens, but really it was both of them, and certainly the minister in charge kind of went missing in action, maybe that could have been enough. You know,
I think there's a few guilty parties there. I didn't like how Judith Collins said her whole caucus is going to vote no because she says so. That was some bullshit.
Yeah.
So everybody playing political gains, not really helping the people out. It's this classic politics that really frustrates me.
Yeah, and you know, that sends strong signals, you know, to their supporters, I guess, even though they were dwindling, you know, and still have. But the other thing that came out, so good old Russell Brown, he went and looked at the returns, you know, spurred on by this paper, and
he's found, put his glasses,
you know,
on.
Well, there's only
he's chucked his glasses on. He's had a look.
Well,
oh no, we're talking
Russell
about
Brown. Yeah. Just confused you for Andrew Little there, just pointing out.
Quit politics.
So there are only three groups in the referendum campaign that had to file returns as spending over $100,000, it turns out, and only one of them was on the legal side, which is the Drug Foundation, and whereas the NOPAs had two. But it turns out, if you do a bit of digging like Russell Brown has, or go read his blog at Public Address, that the two organisations are in fact the same organisation. They share the same address and the same people and the same things. And as we all know, right, Family First and the Sam and the Say Nope, it's all the same. And but by spreading
look
it around,
look at you, Peter Beggis.
Spreading it around, you know, they got to stay under the limit, perhaps. You know, so we kind of all suspected it was happening, and you know, there it is.
Crummy.
Are they going to get in trouble?
Hey, John.
Unlikely. Well, there is an inquiry on right now, right? So there's the post-election and referendum inquiry right now, and submissions are open. You can have your say. I forget which committee it is. I think it'll be the...
Fairness and balance. I don't want people...
You want someone to be told
getting
off.
Getting grubby
though,
and spending
that's
more
right.
than
that's
they should.
That's all we're asking for. And so, yes, anyway, it's a parliamentary inquiry right now. I think it's the Justice and Electoral Committee and an inquiry into the referendum election. If you have a concern about the way it was held,
wow. Okay, cool.
Get in there. And so, anyway, in response to that, Jacinda Ardern came out. So this is again just continuing this big week we've had. And
it's not going away.
So
is
she
it, Chris?
Said,
"It's not going away, mate."
What did she say? I've got to find it now. Anyway, in response to that, she said that something along the lines of that she shares the view of the vast majority of New Zealanders that possession should not be criminalised. And
I think what she actually said was, "I'm stoned right now," something like that.
Before you had that actual there, man. Come on.
Sorry, man. Sorry, dog.
She shares the view of many that possessing cannabis should not be a crime.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern says shares the view of many that possessing cannabis should not be a crime.
Hey, I found it.
I don't know what you said, John.
I found it. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern shares the view of many.
Cannabis
guys.
And also, if you just look, cannabis can affect your short-term memory loss. Okay, interesting. But also will make you laugh and be a good person.
That's right. That's the main thing, eh? That kind of outweighs all the downsides.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. A good feast on some edible cannabis can be quite humbling.
And they're medicinal too. Medicinal. So
everyone's medicinal though. If you really zoom in and clean it up, it is a medicine at its core, 100%. You kind of opened my eyes to that
when you said a long time ago
you were like. What you'll find is most people are actually using cannabis medicinally, and I sort of just sat back and I thought about myself and I was like, fucking totally. I never really actually like really thought about it like that, you know, because it's always just been like an illegal thing, but it's so true. It's so true. I use it 100%.
Well, certainly, once you're beyond the experimental phase of youth or whatever. But that is right. So speaking of which, on Friday last week, the government, or MedSafe, in fact, finally approved some medicinal cannabis products. The first ones under the scheme.
Exciting.
So it's been, you know, almost 2 years. or in fact over since the passage of the bill, and then it was April the 1st, you know, a while back. And I might be getting my thing slightly wrong, but it's been a very long time, and it's been in the news quite a bit lately. NewsHub have done some stories with patients saying, you know, that they're really worried that this exemption that they'd already given to extend the time that existing products could stay distributed, that had run out, and it was on the verge of running out again. So just in time, they've approved two Tilray CBD products. This is Tilray's the Canadian product. Peter Thiel's the owner guy.
CBD,
yeah, no THC yet. And I think people might have been concerned there too, like, what the hell, just two? And it's just this one company. And anyway, so just and today. CBD. Just today, the government has extended this exemption for another 6 months. So that takes us through to, you know, a long way through the year, and hopefully there'll be, you know, a few more products approved. And,
is 6 months going to be long enough to get some local products on the market?
I think that'll be touch and go, but I hear there's quite a few applications in for imported products. You know, how far along they are or how many can be done. But I think in terms of local ones, I mean, there's the things like batch testing where things just have to be put on the shelf for 6 months and you just can't hurry that along. And, you know, labs have to get accredited that haven't been yet and, you know, all these sorts of things. So imported products, I mean, you know, it's potential. I hear people saying they're going to have things done by the end of the year. I like their optimism, you know.
Go for it.
Would it almost be easier to push for decrim?
Hell
within
yeah.
6 months?
Yeah, well, certainly the referendum would have fixed a lot of problems. And you know, having certain forms of products available over the counter would also fix lots of problems. And that was in the original scheme where we had a kind of dual track, in the original proposal, I should say, for the medical cannabis scheme that we all gave consultation on, had the pharmaceutical route and a herbal route. And the herbal route was easier for products to get approved, so therefore it was viable for a local industry. Things would be cheaper. They wouldn't have to have years and years of testing, all that kind of thing. Doctors may or may not prescribe them, right? So you're down to that. Will a doctor prescribe it? But in terms of getting a product in front of people, you know, a hell of a lot easier. That all disappeared from the scheme. We still don't know why. And I'd certainly like to see it come back. And so that's the other thing that happened, right? So it is yesterday, Shane Retty, the deputy leader of the National Party, he had a bill in front of Parliament. He actually put it in a while back, and it's been kind of languishing. And then it got drawn before the election, and he could have let it wither again. And to his credit, you know, he's kept it in there and kept it floating up there on the agenda. And they've put it up for the vote. And so last night was all speeches from all the leading political heads of cannabis policy in Parliament. But you know, it was doomed to failure because the government has their scheme and that's what they're backing. So they all voted against it, you know, including the Greens. But I actually side with Retty on this, which is that it should have passed its first vote and gone to select committee so they could consider it. And it would be a really good opportunity to hear the concerns of patients and hear what they think, and from industry too, about what they think the issues are, because there's a mandated review of the government's scheme that has to happen by the end of this year. And so as part of this debate that happened last night in Parliament, Chloe Swarbrook told Parliament that she had that confirmed in writing, that review is happening, it's about to start, and that will all be reported back by the 18th of December, apparently.
Okay.
So, you know, although I hate to say, oh, let's put our faith in another review, you know, at least there's a timetable on that. That still sounds pretty long. And I know that for a lot of patients that is, you know, that's too long to wait. And so certainly, decrim, coming back to what you were saying, we need that approach in general, because what we don't want, you know, is for patients to be caught up in any kind of police operation or whatever they do, even though we know they've pulled back on the helicopters, they're still out there doing things. I even had a call, you know, late last night from someone being raided, and you know, they are still going after cannabis. So, you know, we need this decrim approach so that the police can really have a clear focus that they're where they need to be looking at is organised crime, not at, you know, green fairies and medical and personal use.
Out of interest, the supposed raid, how many plants are on the property, do you know?
No.
Okay, just want to know if people with small operations need to sweat it, or if it's more the big dogs with, like, the underground bits and pieces.
Who knows, right? It's a lottery. Who knows?
Okay, I'm not very good at the lottery, so that's...
Speaking of which, on a slightly different note, there was a study came out, and this was reported on one of the local websites, wasn't it? And it was looking at...
Renews at the carbon emissions, carbon footprint of indoor cannabis in the USA.
And so I'd hate for people to get the kind of wrong idea, because it was saying it was very bad, and it was like something like almost 5,000 kilos of carbon dioxide.
Kilo of dried cannabis.
That's a lot. But in Colorado, it snows half the year, so they're doing heating. They're using natural gas mostly to do that. And when they are using electricity for their lighting and their cooling in summer, because it gets really hot in summer, it's coal powered. So not really comparable to us here, where people don't have to heat their rooms, and where we're using hydropower by and large.
And most of the lights these days are really efficient. They don't even get that hot, like the halogen style ones and stuff. That's what I've read.
Yeah, certainly LEDs are looking quite promising. I think in general,
looks nice, pretty multicolored light. Love it.
There you go. So I think that's a big opportunity anyway. Why I wanted to mention that is for New Zealand cannabis, that if American-grown cannabis is actually pretty bad for the environment, and it takes all those, I don't doubt that what they came up with was accurate for Colorado.
But, clean, green New Zealand.
Yeah, that to me speaks to a big opportunity for New Zealand exported cannabis and for not choosing imported cannabis.
Mm. Right on that one, Chris. Thank you very much. Thank you to the Hemp Store.
Right-ho.
Do it then.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.